Our speaker for this next hour is Brother Kevin Keehan.
You know, brothers and sisters in Christ, the greatest thing that an individual can do is to put Christ on in baptism. We are here to know and to serve God. The Bible makes this very clear. And whenever an individual is baptized into Christ, the Bible tells us that that individual receives the forgiveness of sin. And it is at that point in baptism when the Lord adds them into His church and they begin a relationship with God, a walk with God. And in this, it brings the individual great joy to know that indeed they are a child of God. It brings them great peace and comfort to know also that they have the forgiveness of sin. And it gives us hope to look beyond this life to an eternal life in heaven with our God. Being a Christian certainly is filled with wonderful blessings, the blessings that only come from being a child of God, having brothers and sisters of like precious faith to love and to be loved by. We are surrounded by those who love us and those who love God and love the souls of mankind and constantly reaching out to help bring others to the same knowledge and assurance that you and I have. Yet at the same time, we are presented each day with multiple challenges. The Bible identifies for us that God commands Christians to be faithful unto Him. In fact, the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58 states, "Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." God commands His children to be steadfast. For nothing in this world to move us off course of that which God has promised us of an eternal life in heaven with Him. In all of this, we understand, as the Apostle Paul taught in the book of Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15, that we are to be joined and knitted together. Also Paul taught in the book of Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 17, that we are to be rooted and grounded in the truth. How are you and I going to be able to accomplish this? Good people, the Bible tells us in the book of Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33 that we are to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and God will take care of all that we need in and throughout the course of this life. The Bible tells us in the book of Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10 that those who remain faithful unto the very end will be given a crown of life. In that day, whenever we stand before God in judgment, if we have lived our lives fully according to His will, if we have done all that we possibly can to live righteous in the sight of our God, then good people, the Bible tells us that heaven will be our eternal reward. This world is indeed a difficult place to live. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9 that we are called out of darkness into His marvelous light. The darkness here is representative of the world, more specifically evil and ungodliness. And the Bible tells us that we are called into the marvelous light, illumination that God has laid before us through His Word, of the path that will lead us through life and will take us into an eternal life in heaven with Him. In this, the Bible also tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 15 through 17, also Titus chapter 2 and verse 12, that we are commanded to live sober and righteous, godly lives. Good people, God expects us to be holy as He is holy. In these things, we also realize that we are challenged not only by the world, but our God challenges us not to love the world, neither the things that are in the world. Why? Because the Scripture tells us that the world is passing away. And therefore, as New Testament Christians, you and I keep our eyes fixed upon heaven, upon the eternal things, not the things that are temporal. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18, because we know that whenever Jesus Christ returns, that everything in regard to this world will be destroyed. 2 Peter chapter 3 verses 10 and following. Good people, the Bible tells us that most certainly we must live our lives to be Christ-like. And the Bible also explains to us that we must be balanced as we go throughout the course of this world. What do I mean by that? We live in the world. We live here as human beings. We have responsibilities pertaining to this world. We go out and we work each and every day to earn a living. We earn our keep literally by the sweat of our brow. In all of this, not only do we understand that we have responsibilities pertaining to our survival here, but also whenever it comes to our family, we are to be here and to help raise our family, to raise them to do what? Number one, first and foremost, is to know God, but also to be productive citizens while they are here in this world. But yet the Bible tells us while we live in the world, in no way are we to be like the world. We must live our lives to place our will to the side and to put God's will number one. You and I have personal desires and maybe even determinations, and God says that those things are to take a second seat whenever we look at the big scheme of things, whenever we understand truly the reason why we're here is to serve God. And good people, in all of this, you and I must certainly make certain that our pursuit in life is to be Christ-like. To be like Jesus Christ in every way that we possibly can. And somebody says, Kevin, that's difficult. Yes, most certainly, brethren, it is difficult. But understand, it is very possible to live a godly life. James chapter 1 and verse 13, or James chapter 1 and verse 22 says that we are to be doers of the Word, not hearers, deceiving our own selves. How are we going to be able to be doers of the Word? How will you and I be able to be successful to be Christ-like? 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6 says that he that saith he abide in him ought also so to walk, even as he walked. You and I must walk in the same steps to live the same type of life that Jesus lived while he was here in this world. He is indeed the ultimate example of what it means to serve God. He is indeed the ultimate example, as God Himself tells us, of what it means to please God. And if we truly belong to Christ, if we truly love God to the level that we claim, then you and I will live our lives to be Christ-like. Good people, tonight I want us to consider an individual in the Old Testament Scripture who certainly represents the type of an individual that you and I must strive to be as we live here. How can we secure our salvation? By living the type of life that we know will bring glory and honor unto our God. Kids, tonight I want to encourage you to start young, to start now in striving to be obedient to your parents, to be respectful and honoring to your parents, as what we find with this individual in the Old Testament, Joseph. Joseph understood exactly what it was to not only serve God, but also the responsibility he had as a young man to be obedient and respectful to his father. We're told in the book of Genesis chapter 37, verses 1 through 13, of a situation where his brothers had gone off to Shechem and they were feeding the flock. And his father wanted his sons to come home. And in this, he inquires of Joseph and he instructs Joseph that he wants him to go to Shechem and to tell his brethren to come home. And the King James says that he said, "Here am I." Good people, a literal translation of that could be is that "I will go." He did not argue with his father, but rather he understood that if someone was needed to go and his father wanted him to go, then he was going to do exactly what it was that it was expected to him. As a result of that, he obeyed his father. In all of this, he honored, he respected his father. We also have the example of our Lord in the New Testament with Jesus Christ Himself. In the book of Luke chapter 2 and verse 52, in the context here, Jesus showed love, honor, and respect for His mother and father. Why do I state that? Because we understand that He was submissive unto them. Good people, in this, the Bible identifies for us to children is that children have a God-given responsibility, a commandment handed down straight from our God, wherein that they are to honor their mother and father, wherein that they are to obey their mother and father in the Lord. And the Bible tells us that whenever they do so, that this is indeed right. We understand concerning Joseph that he was a very polite young man in the fact that he was obedient and respectful to his father. And kids, begin young, begin at your youthful age to do these things, and not only will this demonstrate how much you love your mother and father, this will also go a long way in helping you to be a faithful servant of our God. Joseph also understood both sides of sin. Good people, in this I do not mean that he understood what it meant to be a saint and a sinner, but rather he understood what it meant to sin against man as well as to sin against God. He was not the only one to understand this. We understand, as is taught in 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 25 concerning the sons of Eli, is that these men, in sinning, they had sinned against their fellow man, but also they had sinned against the Lord. In the New Testament Scripture, in the book of Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, Ananias and Sapphira, whenever they lied unto Peter and unto the apostles there present that day, unto all who were in their company, not only was it a sin against these individuals, the Bible tells us that it was a sin against the Holy Spirit. It was a sin against our God. Ultimately, all sin, we understand, is against God. And you and I will be accountable for the sin that we commit in this life, whether it is against man or against God. Why? Because our God has given us His perfect law, wherein that we must live by, and to be honest and upright, to make certain that we live according to the standards that He lays down, whether it's dealing directly with Him or good people, even if it's dealing with our fellow man. God expects us to live according to righteousness. But also, when we consider this man Joseph, we realize is that he kept his faith in times of trouble. When we think in regard to Joseph, we know that the Lord had blessed him immensely. In Potiphar's house, he was given great charge. And as Potiphar's wife looked upon him, she cast her eyes upon this man and she found him to be a very attractive man. And in all of this, good people, she pursued him. But yet at the same time, he did not allow himself to fall to the temptations of this woman. But rather, we understand is that he kept his focus upon our God. Also, because of this, he is cast into prison, and the Bible identifies for us there that, again, God is with him. Why is God with Joseph in prison? Good people, I contend that it is because Joseph continued to be with God. He continued to keep his focus upon God while he was in prison, knowing that God, even though he was there, even though Joseph is in prison, God's going to be with him and see him through these times. And good people, understand, in all of this, Joseph continued to keep his focus upon Jehovah God. You and I, as we go throughout the course of our life, we may get to a time here in the United States where we might be in prison for being a Christian. I hope and pray that it will not come to that. But yet at the same time, in all of this, you and I realize is that our life is still saturated with trials and temptation. In fact, we learn from 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 16 that if anyone suffers as a Christian, we are not to be ashamed. We are not to allow these things to get us down. In fact, you and I must continue to trust in God as Joseph did, to know that God is there for us, that God has created us after His image, and having created us, God knows us even better than what we know ourselves. In fact, the Apostle Paul, in writing to the saints at Corinth, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, says that God will not allow us to be tempted above that which we're able to bear. But with the temptation, He will supply a way of escape. What's the message that God wants you and me to understand, to take away tonight? To hang on. To hang in there. To keep on keeping on. And to use the challenges of life, James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, for our good. To allow these things to help mold us and to make us into a stronger Christian who will glorify God even during our times of trial. We also understand concerning Joseph is that he was a man who was there to help others who had need. While he was in prison, good people, we've already mentioned that he focused upon God. And there was a situation there where individuals have dreams, the baker and the butcher, and in all of that, we realize is that Joseph is there to give the interpretation of the dreams. And of course, we know for the baker or the butcher, however you want to state it there, The outcome for that individual was not very good, to the point to where he was going to lose his life, and he did. But for the butler, it meant that he was going to be restored back into a realm in the Potiphar's home and to the superiority or to the level that he enjoyed before he himself was in prison. Do you remember the words of Joseph? He says, "Remember me." What did he want him to do? Good people, it wasn't that he wanted to this individual to remember him constantly and just think, be grateful for what he had done, but rather to express his gratitude by telling the Potiphar, the man in charge, exactly what had happened in hopes that he himself would be released. What was the result of that? 2 years later, when the Potiphar had a dream, and the butler finds that he's not able to give the interpretation, he remembers who? He then remembers Joseph. Joseph did not allow this to get him down, but rather, good people, we understand, is that he was constantly there to help those who were in need. The Bible identifies for us in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 4 that every man's not to look upon his own needs, but rather to look upon the needs of others. Well, what does it mean that we need to look upon the needs of others? Understand from the context, not only here in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 4, but the great context of the New Testament Scripture, is that as we look upon needs, that it's more than that we identify that there's a need here, and in all of that, it means then that as we identify that there is a need, that we do what is within our power to do to help with that need. In the book of James chapter 2, verses 14, and following, we understand that if a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, that we cannot just go to them and recognize that need and say, "Be ye warmed and filled," and do nothing to help them in their time of trial. The Bible says that that faith is a non-active faith, and that faith is condemned by God. In fact, in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, he says, "As you therefore have opportunity," and good people understand, whenever the Bible identifies an opportunity, it is opportunity conjoined with ability. "In this, as you therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, but especially those who are the household of faith." You and I need to emulate Joseph here in the fact that you and I as Christians need to constantly be reaching out to others, not only to help those who are in need for their physical well-being, but to realize that whenever we are reaching out to help with these physical needs, in like figure, a door might possibly be open and somebody might say, "Kevin, are you saying that we need to do these things and so that we'll have people coming in by the groves?" Absolutely not. But rather, we need to follow the example of our Lord and Savior in all of these things. Jesus recognized physical needs, and whenever He met their physical needs, He realized then that this was going to give Him an opportunity to reach them further with their spiritual needs. The good news, by all means, our God continues to work through His people today in the same manner. Joseph was a man who gave God due glory. Each opportunity, Joseph praised God. When he faced that temptation there with the Potiphar's wife, I believe that he was praising God because he knew that God helped him to get through this. He didn't focus upon the things of the world, but rather he kept his focus upon God, knowing that if he had sinned, it was not only a sin against the Potiphar, it was not only a sin with the woman, it was a sin against our God. And for this reason, he praised God and he honored God. He honored God by being obedient unto our God, being faithful to Jehovah God in and throughout the course of his life. And understand also, he gave God the credit. Whenever he was able to interpret the dreams, he didn't pat himself on the back and say, "Well, look at me. Look at what I've been able to do." But rather, good people, I believe that in this, he certainly is equivalent to what we understand concerning Daniel, who also gave God the credit for the interpretation of the dreams. In these times that you and I have in this life, we need to realize that God is always there for us. No matter what we face in life, God is there for us. Matthew chapter 28, we understand, as is taught by the Lord. In the book of Matthew 28 and verse 19, whenever we are baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin, We are clothed in Christ. We become a New Testament Christian, a child of God. And verse 20 says, "Lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the world," or the end of the age, the Christian age. Our God says that He will be there for us and with us. And God brings forth incredible things to our lives. In fact, things that are not describable, that in reality we cannot even see, but yet at the same time, as true Christians, we know that they're there. As God is working providentially in our lives, as we read His Word and we gain knowledge and direction, what a blessing that is to us. As we have our brothers and sisters, those of like precious faith, who are there for us during these times, this is God working for us. And the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15 that we are to thanks be to God for His indescribable gifts. In Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2, He says, "Continue earnestly in prayer, being diligent in it with thanksgiving." What's He saying? He says prayer must be a constant part of our life. And He says being diligent. He says making certain that we're always engaged and that we're constantly looking and appreciating what we have in this avenue that the Bible calls prayer. And in doing so, that we're not always just asking God for things, but rather recognizing that He's doing things. And then therefore that we thank Him. That we're always thanking Him for the blessings that He has in our lives. But good people, also to speak well of God as we have opportunity here in this world. And I'm not talking about just in evangelizing that we go and we knock on doors. That's important. But also to the fact that every day of our life, you and I are given opportunities to shine as that light. To let the world know that indeed we are a child of God. And you and I need to attribute the blessings that we have before the world so that the world will know that it's not about us, but rather that it's about God. We understand concerning Joseph that he was a man who was extremely humble. He did not allow the status or the position in life to go to his head. Nor did he allow his position to corrupt him, but rather he kept his focus constantly. And you and I, no matter what it is that we have in life, we need to realize that all of these blessings come forth from God, James chapter 1 and verse 17, and that God may place upon us an opportunity to have positions in life that the average man might look at and say, "Wow. Look at what you have become. Look at what you have done as a man. Or look what you have accomplished as a woman." And good people, in all of this, the temptation is there for it to go to our head. And not only to go to our head, but in like figure, to corrupt us. To allow us to become a part of the world. To lose our relationship with God. And God says, never allow these things to do that, but rather always practice humility. How do we humble ourselves? Good people, we're taught by the Apostle Paul by way of inspiration in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, that we are to let this mind be in us, which was also in Christ Jesus, who humbled Himself. If we want to know what true humility is all about, we need to study the life of Jesus each and every day. And we will find truly what it means to be humble. And because people, not only do we need to study, we need to apply this humility to our everyday walk of life. In the book of James chapter 4, verses 7 through 10, we are taught to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift us up. He will indeed take care of us. He may choose during the course of our time here to lift us up to another level, if you would, in life. But yet, at the same time, He wants us to be humble, to be contrite. He wants us to still give Him the glory and to use whatever position, status, whatever He puts at our disposal, whatever He puts into our hands, He wants us to use these things to glorify His name. In fact, we're also taught in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5 that we are to be clothed in humility. Well, what does it mean to be clothed in humility? Good people, that is where that we are fully covered as humble people. Joseph was a very humble individual, and you and I would do well in our lives as Christians to emulate this man in his humble spirit. But also understand concerning Joseph is that he was a man who displayed concern for his enemies. Whenever Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers, good people, can you imagine in all of this how he must have felt? I would imagine that he was enraged, that he felt as if he had been betrayed. And in these things, though, he did not allow his anger to get out of check, but rather, good people, he realized that these were indeed his brethren, that these individuals were those that he loved in spite of what it was that they had done to him. And in this we realize concerning his relationship with them is that whenever they're confronted and whenever they confess to him what it is that they have done and who they are, the Bible tells us that he weeps. Whenever he saw his brother Benjamin, the Bible tells us that he weeps. Joseph was constantly weeping because of those who were his enemies. Why did he weep? Brethren, because I believe he recognized the soul and the love that he had for these individuals, and that he was not to take upon himself the act of vengeance, but rather the act of love to gain them back. You and I are commanded in the New Testament Scripture in the book of Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44 that we are to love our enemies. We are to bless those who curse us. And that's hard to do. Why? Because the enemy brings out the worst in us. But God says that we are to love them. Why are we to love them? Because they are a soul that has been created by God after His image. And these people are a soul. They represent a living soul that will someday stand before God in judgment. And unless that soul repents of their evil, then they're going to be lost eternally. And you and I must love them and bless them in our efforts to bring them into an understanding of our God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 11, the Apostle Paul says, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord," and this is paraphrased, "I seek to convince or to persuade men." You and I know the terror of the Lord in that day will be upon those individuals who do not know God. And our enemies, sadly, for the most part, will be a part of that number. And you and I should do all that we can to love them and to help them to come and no longer be an enemy of God, but rather to be a friend of our God. We also understand concerning Joseph is that he died as a faithful example to all. You know, the children of Israel remembered Joseph from each generation in the Old Testament and even into the New Testament. We find concerning the Jews, that they were constantly speaking about Joseph. How did they speak about Joseph? It was not to belittle. They did not look down upon him, but rather, good people, they looked upon him with honor and respect for his life here in this world. And you and I, as Christians, throughout the course of our life here, as the Apostle Paul told Titus in Titus chapter 2 and verse 7, we need to live to show ourselves as a pattern. A pattern to what? A pattern according to the sound doctrine in the context, but a pattern of what it means to really and truly be a Christian, to be an individual who loves God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. In all of that, you and I need to be like the Apostle Paul in what he was able to say in to those at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1. He says, "Imitate me, which I also imitate Christ Jesus." You and I need to imitate Christ in our lives. And in doing so, even whenever we die, to people, our death will be an example of all of what it means to be a faithful Christian. And people will recollect. People will remember. And people will talk about us. Not about the evil things that we did in life, but rather for the good. For our stands for our God. For our love for our God. And for our faithfulness to Him throughout the course of life. Not only will they talk about these things, but I believe that in part, this example will help them to live a Christ-like life throughout the course of their time here. As we conclude with the lesson tonight, I ask the question, how well are you doing? Are you living the type of life that will bring glory and honor to our God? Have you given your life over to Christ to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin? If not, the Bible tells us that you're lost. And understand that we in no way, our God in no way, wants you to be lost. In fact, our God has given Jesus Christ, His Son. Jesus Himself gave His life at Calvary's cross as an opportunity, as a means of redemption. The question is that if you're lost, are you willing to do something about that tonight? Also, you may be here tonight as a member of the body of Christ, and for whatever reason, you've allowed your life to not be Christ-like. You've journeyed off into the ways of the world. You've not brought glory and honor to our God's name. You know, our God stands willing and ready to forgive all, whosoever will may come.